This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. And with me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, which covers business, politics, culture, and more for the Fort Smith region. Michael, how are you?
I am doing well. Kyle, how's the world up there?
It's very warm, but that's what you expect in June. Quite a few interesting items on the City Wire this week, including one about compressed natural vehicles. We've talked about the CNG vehicles a little bit before, but there's hope that maybe the market is growing for such vehicles?
Correct. And it would be nice if this would grow. You know, people talk about how do we get away from using oil, how do we get away from using foreign oil, and unfortunately, the answer is literally, if you live in Arkansas, under our feet with natural gas. The problem, however, is infrastructure. I mean, you can't just run down the road and get fill your vehicle up with compressed natural gas. So that's one of the issues. The other issue is that kits to convert your vehicles can range anywhere from $4,000 to $18,000 for some of the larger SUVs and specialized vehicles. But Kyle, right now the commodity price for natural gas is about $1.07, between $1.10. And I don't know what you're paying up there, but we're around $3.55 here for a gallon of gas. So we're talking about a little over a $2 savings. And just did some rough math last night. And, you know, if you drive, if you use 200 gallons a month, your annual savings for CNG at current prices is close to $6,300. So in 1 year, you have feasibly paid off your kit, and you will end up saving close to $6,300 a year in fuel costs, just at 200 gallons of fuel a month, which is not out of the normal. It's within range. So, yes, the AOG opened a public facility here. It's been open for a while, but they held a formal public opening. And I have to tell you, I was impressed with the people they had. I mean, they had officials with the Arkansas Public Service Commission here. John Robbins, general manager of Smith Chevrolet in Fort Smith, he's eager. He says they have 10 to 20 customers ready to convert light-duty trucks to CNG use. So, you know, CNG use has been off and on since 1982, but now that we've had so many consistent years of these volatile fuel prices, I think people are finally eager to get something that's going to be much more consistent, both in terms of price and the fact that it's domestic energy.
And you wrote in your piece on thecitywire.com that there are roughly about 100,000 CNG vehicles in the U.S.?
Correct. And there are 12 million worldwide. So obviously the rest of the world has already figured out that this is a good deal. And now it's up to the U.S. to figure out if we're going to make it a good deal. And some of that is just geography. Obviously, anyone that's ever looked at a map knows that the U.S. is more spread out. And so some of the countries in Europe where people are more compacted, the infrastructure issue is not such a big issue. But if we can figure out, owners can figure out, and the industry can figure out, and they can work together to fix this infrastructure problem where you have enough of these CNG stations, I can't imagine that this wouldn't take off, that this wouldn't be popular. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. If nothing else, just it'll drive the cost down of these conversion kits, and I can afford one.
Story this week about Arkansas's GDP, and I tried to figure out whether it was good economic news or bad economic news. The GDP was up in April compared to the previous year, but the previous April had been revised down. So help me, Michael. Is it good news that the GDP is up, or bad, or indifferent?
Well, I wish I could help you, but Kyle, honestly, I had the same thought. But I came to the conclusion that it's positive because the most recent number is increased. So that's my I don't know if I'm just kidding myself or that's the case, but you know, Michael Paco, economist at the University of Arkansas Little Rock, he sees it as positive. Not only that, he predicted back last year about this time that he thought that the 2010 GDP would be around 2%. And he wasn't off by much. He was off the right way, which is lower, so it's up 2.3%. But I think the revision that you're talking about, the 2009 revision being revised downward, I think it indicates that the economy was not performing as well as maybe some folks in Washington, Ben Bernanke and others, wanted us to believe. and not to be a pessimist, but it makes me question how the 2010 number will be revised, because I'm still not confident, especially with rising inflation and energy prices we've been talking about. I'm not confident the economy is really as good as some would want us to believe. And we're going to get all kinds of mixed messages, Kyle, going into this election cycle. Obviously, the Republicans are going to want you to think that we're just, you know, a week or two away from another depression, and the Democrats are going to want you to think we're just a week or two away from, you know, everybody living in, you know, mansions with gold driveways.
Collier Wenderoth Jr., who you describe as a legend in the Arkansas national poultry industry, passed away recently. And this was, you and I were talking before we started this conversation on the air, someone that I was unfamiliar with. Help me out.
It's not unusual. What you said, not being familiar with him, is common. I've heard that in the last several days. Mr. Wenderoth was just a believer in staying focused on the business. He had no use for publicity, for the media, good or bad. You know, if the company had good news, he didn't care to push it. And bad news, obviously he didn't want to, but he was very consistent. And those of us in the Fort Smith area, at least most of us in the media in this area, respected that because he was pretty consistent in the application. But you know, he was, people all over the country, though, you know, when he passed away, you know, we received comments from, obviously, Gary George there in Springdale and John Tyson, who incidentally, you know, both lost their fathers, who were icons with Collier in growing the national poultry industry. You know, those three gentlemen worked hand in hand, and it's, you know, Gene George we've heard of, obviously Don Tyson we've heard of, but Collier Wenderoth Jr. we had not. And, you know, that, again, that just goes to back to Mr. Wenderoth, really. It's not that he was conceited or you know, didn't like the media, whatever. He just really had no use for it, and he kept a low profile. But he was very active at the national level. He was chairman for several years of the National Chicken Council, very active with the Poultry Federation of Arkansas. So just quite a guy.
And finally, I have to ask, because June 17th is just over a week away, any more talk about what to expect, whether that 1% prepared food tax is going to be collected soon or not?
I have no idea, but there's a lot of rancor in the air, and it is amazing how it's possible that the city may win the legal battle but lose the PR battle, and I'm not sure how this is going to work out. It's just difficult to explain in a soundbite all the complexities behind this. What people see, however, is that the city is being mean to these common citizens who just wanted to have a chance to vote on it, and that is just, I'm just not sure the city's going to win the PR battle on this.
I'm not asking you to speak for anyone. Do you think there's some regret that it wasn't sent to the ballot originally now?
You know, I don't know, and that's, you know, here's what frustrates some people, and not that it frustrates me, but I find it interesting. The city board, back before November 2010, a lot of the people who are now, let me back up, the board was pressured not to put this on the ballot. Don't you guys dare put this on the ballot. We don't need a tax. We don't need a 1% prepared food. Don't you dare put this on the ballot. Well, when the city board surprised everybody and just enacted it by ordinance, then those same people who said, don't you dare put it on the ballot, are saying, gosh, I can't believe the board didn't give us a chance to vote on this. That's what kind of upsets me. These same people wanted it both ways. But nevertheless, that's hard to explain, Kyle, in a soundbite. And again, I'm afraid the city's going to lose the PR battle on this.
And of course, June 17th, I brought that update because a week from Friday is the latest when we'll find out from the courts what is the next, whether it's the petition should be allowed, whether there should be an extended period, whether the tax can be collected. It's all sorts of questions might begin to be answered then.
Yeah, they might begin to be answered, or it could just be the beginning of an appeal process.
Well, something for us to carry us through the summer, I suppose.
Yeah, we may be talking about this for a while.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more in the Fort Smith region. Michael, as always, thank you for your time.
All right. Try to stay cool, Kyle.
I'm going to try.